Today's scripture is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray continuously.
In Acts chapter 2, we read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We have already prayed this morning as the Lord taught His disciples to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. We pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And we ask, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Such a powerful set of lines. Jesus Himself was known to be a praying person. From the 40 days and nights He spent in the wilderness praying when He was tempted by Satan, to the many times the Gospels tell us that Jesus withdrew privately for prayer. And who could forget the prayer in the garden? Remove this cup from me. Or from the cross, why have you forsaken me? Forgive them. Forgive them. And throughout the Bible, there are many references to prayer. Throughout the Psalms and the Prophets and the Epistles, particularly from Paul. Paul has some of the ones that stick out in my mind. Like in Philippians chapter 4, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Or in Romans, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And of course, the text in 1 Thessalonians. I'd always been told that the shortest Bible verse was where it says Jesus wept. And I suppose maybe those are shorter words than pray continually, which is just one verse. And it's in the same vein as the text I just mentioned in Romans. It comes along with be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. So it turns out that prayer, as I think we all have always known, is a foundational part of the life of the believer and of the life of the church. And it is because of this biblical emphasis, and also because it's an important part of our lives, that along with the deacons and some help from the Board of Christian Education and the Mission Outreach Committee and some others, we are announcing this morning an emphasis on prayer for the coming year. It will be called A Year for Prayer. And that is what I want to talk about this morning. The first thing I want to do is just tell you what will be happening, because I think if you get a good map for what's going to be coming in the next 2 or 3 months, it will make it give you time to think about it and consider it. Our World Missions offering, which is an October emphasis, will be accompanied by a season of prayer, a series of devotions for 60 days. And that sounds intimidating, but it's really not. It's 60 short devotions that you will be given an opportunity to use in your daily devotions. They will be made available in print form, through an email, or online through the website. I think we'll be making them available a week at a time, beginning on September 29th. Now, these prayer requests and concerns and devotions are actually written by American Baptist missionaries that we support through the offering that we will be collecting. But you'll notice 60 days takes more than a month. So that will be an activity that you can be a part of for 2 months, until around the time of Thanksgiving. There will be more information in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Secondly, on October 27th, we will have a day of prayer. It will be like a prayer vigil. Opportunities will be given for anyone to come to the church at a scheduled time throughout the day, it's a Saturday, and pray in the sanctuary. There will be suggestions and helps which will also be available to those who might be better able to pray from home. So this will be something that we hope everybody will participate in, even those who either feel uncomfortable or are unable to get to the church. Now, a vigil often has an object, to pray for something in particular, like a building project, or a get-out-of-debt-free campaign, or the launching of a new ministry program. But this day will be a little bit different, for there is no specific aim, except to pray more intentionally for our church and for each other, for our community and for the world, that the prayer ministries of our church would be enhanced and that our faith and our lives would be enriched. And then around Thanksgiving time, we will introduce a prayer chest, which would be like a box or a container of some kind, a bowl, literally something that you can reach and grab things out of. And what we are going to put in there, in order to help us to be more intentional about praying for each other, is the names of the people in the church. And you will have the opportunity to grab a piece of paper that will have someone's name on it, and all you'll do is commit to pray for them for a week. And then the next week, you can grab somebody else's name. That's a couple of months away. So much more information about that will be coming in the months to come. But today, I just wanted to map out the emphasis for the fall. There will be more activities that are in the planning stages for the spring. We will have some prayer services and prayer meetings where we will take the time and to learn about the different kinds of prayer and different ways of praying and give opportunities to grow and try different approaches. But because today is Rally Day and because I had mentioned it in a newsletter article and in a sermon, I thought it would be good to just set it before you so that you can thoughtfully and, of course, prayerfully consider your participation in this emphasis over the next several months. There's plenty of time to ask and answer questions. I present this as a time of encouragement and building up. And let me make this qualification. It is voluntary, and everything that we do is voluntary. There will be parts of this emphasis that will be powerfully meaningful to you. I believe that. There may be parts that could be challenging. I hope that we will not fear a challenge. But there may be some parts of it that prove burdensome or leave you empty. Give what you can to it, what you feel led by the Spirit to give. Do not be burdened. Take what helps, builds up, and encourages, and leave what doesn't, what burdens and overwhelms. This is meant to be a help. Finally, in order to help us prepare for the day of prayer on October 27th, over the next couple of months, I will offer a series of prayer moments. Prayer moments are like missions moments, a chance for me to share some suggestions that I hope will be helpful to you, and also a chance for me to relate a little bit about why this is meaningful to me. And I also want to spend a moment this morning to talk about why this is meaningful to me. If you're anything like me, then Paul's imperative, pray continually, is a difficult one. And I'm sure that you've heard that before, and you've probably had conversations with your friends and with other Christians about what it means to be praying continually, unceasingly. And my guess is many times you've tried to make it a part of your life. I have. Many times I have made it my purpose to be more intentional and determined in prayer. And most of these efforts have been successful for a while, but have been faded, usually. Distractions come along and end them. But at a crucial time in my life, however, prayer became very important to me. And since that time, it has remained so. And that's one of the things that I think is interesting, is that it has not ended. I think you all know what I am referring to, the experience that led to a divorce in my life. When I think about how I survived that time, with my faith intact, and with whatever one may say, however one may speak of it, with a sense of spiritual and emotional and physical health even, I can think of three things that proved meaningful. Those three things are: I ran a lot, I read a lot, and I prayed a lot. Now, these were not accomplishments. I do not offer them as accomplishments, but as confessions. At the time, I did these things out of a sense of desperation. I became very thankful that I was able to run a lot. Some people can't. As a matter of fact, now I don't run so much anymore because my knees don't like it. I can run, but if I do, then I will be very, very sore and it will be painful to walk. It's better to walk. But the point is, you can substitute any form of exercise or physical therapy in its place. For me, physical activity helps. And it doesn't matter what your circumstance is, even if it's squeezing a ball or just lifting your arm up. I would suggest physical activity. And for me, reading is an avocation. It's not something that is true for everybody. I understand that not everyone likes to read or has the opportunities to read. But everyone can have a hobby or an engaging activity, and I assume that all of you do, that helps pass the time, but not just to pass the time, but helps pass the time meaningfully, that provides for you examples of life truths. Now, I would not say that an enhanced prayer life is available only those who can run or read, but prayer, the third thing, is something that we can all do. And for me, it became crucial. And I offer also as confessions a couple of reasons why I think that was true for me. And maybe this will prove helpful to you. It became crucial to me because I listened more intently than I ever had before. I learned prayer as listening as well as speaking. Perhaps that has been your experience. I don't know. Secondly, I became more aware of the kind of things I prayed about, my deepest petitions, what I asked for. And I realized that those things reflected what was most important in my life to me. Some of those things were ennobling and enabling, but some of them were ugly. In other words, I learned prayer as a way of self-knowledge. I was able to make some decisions about some parts of my life I didn't want, and some other things that I wanted that I didn't have. Also, I was confronted with the many ways that I've been well cared for. Things I had never thought of as God's providence leapt at me with great force. The running is an example. When I was a young person, I was able to run. I think I was just one of the kids who could run, you know, when you're in first grade and some kid says, I can beat you to that tree, and you say, oh no, you can't. I was always the one who got there first. For a time in my life, I thought that perhaps the reason why I had been given that particular gift was so that I could win races. Who knows, maybe even be in the Olympics someday, although that turned out not to work out. But in the midst of my crisis, running was part of what saved my life because it was exercise. And I know there's a physiological side to it. It was endorphins. Made me feel good when I didn't feel good. It also led me to places that I would not have ever noticed. And I realized that perhaps I had been given the gift of being able to run so that I might make it through that crisis. That even as far back as when I was born and was a child, I was being prepared to thrive in a difficult time. Same is true for reading, I think, in some ways. Because it isn't just that I like to read, but there were books that I had read 20 years ago that I reread. And it's because I remembered them and they had powerful messages of hope and healing for me. I had been taken care of. There were other things, some of which perhaps I will share over the course of the next year. The result of the ways that I had been taken care of is that there was a sense of gratitude and peace and hope. Now, I am sure that each of you have your own stories to tell, and some of you may be reluctant to tell them, and that's okay. But over the course of the next year, as we emphasize this, others of you may have the opportunity to share at greater length what your stories are to help build up the group. I guess the point is that I learned about God, I learned about myself, I learned how to listen, and in a time that could have been devastating, found myself being lifted up. Lifted up by others around me. Lifted up by on the wings of Christ Himself. And I don't think I would have noticed if it hadn't been for the importance of prayer and for the prevalence of prayer. And of course, I recognize that prayer itself is a discipline that I had been offered by my parents when I was a small child and by the church that they raised me in. I would have never known about it had it not been for people who had told their stories and done their best to help. That's what this year is about. A year for prayer. We set this before you as an opportunity for increased faith, for an enhanced awareness of God's grace, that our lives and that our church might be full and our world might be transformed. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And always remember that back at the very beginning, according to the book of Acts, before they had sanctuaries with stained glass, before they had orders of worship and budgets, before they had youth ministries and music programs and denominational missionary emphases, before they had any of that, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Bow with me. Lord, we are so grateful because of how you have taken care of us, that we long for a better understanding. We each of us face circumstances that are challenging, and our church itself faces challenging circumstances in our community and in the world. The proclaiming of your gospel is full of challenges wherever it is proclaimed. You have given us many things to sustain us and to help us to grow and thrive. And one of those things is prayer, and we are thankful for it. Help us to learn. Open our hearts and our minds to whatever you might speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our song of dedication this morning is "I'll Tell to All That God is Love." It's number 491. Shall we stand together and sing? Thing I'd like to say. We're a small enough congregation that any of you that wants to talk to me, anytime, but certainly about this prayer emphasis, feel free to do so. I'm available to everybody, and I'd love to take the time. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you would be with us when we pray, when we worship together, and also when we go out into the world, because it is in our lives sometimes that we meet you most powerfully. May that happen to each of us. In the name of Christ, amen.
I don't know if it was my ears or what. But
so much better this morning. I don't know if it was cooler weather. It didn't sound like it was the last 2 weeks.
There's places in it. The one downstairs, I guess, sounded good. I thought, wow, this hasn't been affected very much. So that was nice. That was a pleasant surprise.
I had one of those.